was lovely.
It's the Two Johnnies Podcast.
The Two Johnnies Podcast.
Two Johnnies recording a podcast.
Hello, hello, hello.
You're welcome to the Two Johnnies Podcast, bringing you all the mayhem and news from the world of the Two Johnnies.
I'm Johnny B.
And I'm Johnny Smacks. Welcome to a very special episode of the Two Johnnies Podcast. We're throwing the running order out the window to dedicate this episode enlightening our listeners on something very close to our hearts. Not silage, but the GAA Club. On St. Patrick's Day in Croke Park, the AIB GAA Club Senior Hurling and Football All-Ireland Finals will be down for decision. So we thought with this in mind, the Two Johnnies take you on the journey taken by a club player from pulling on tyres at under six to pulling jerseys at the county final.
That's right. And also on this week's podcast, we are joined by, on this most auspicious occasion, by a great club man, former Meath goalkeeper, all-around good guy. It's the outspoken and larger than life, Paddy O'Rourke. Woo! Welcome to the house, Paddy. And we'd like to thank AIB for sending Paddy down to us. And they've been sponsoring the All-Ireland Club Championship for 28 years. What? Producer Maura is chomping at the bit because she's got a club-related topic and the cast is off. Maura is back. And we will, of course, finish with Yorts and Dorts.
Before commencing with proceedings, matters arising from last week's podcast, Mr. Chairman. A little bit different this week, John.
Yeah, we opened up our social media channels. We're looking for stories of things that have happened in the club. So one lady texted us to say, our old club, Camogie and football manager, was an absolute GAA lunatic and he was one man banned. No mentors, no selectors. He was over the under-16s, he was over the minors, he was over the juniors, he was also the chairman, assistant secretary, assistant treasurer, and some of the training sessions got absolutely brutal. More than once I'd be so wrecked. When I come in the door, I couldn't get the gear off because we'd have done 2 hours of Camogie. But all the same, I had a great time for him and I wouldn't have gone back playing only for him. And we won the Junior B Football, Ladies Football Championship in 2017. A great few days for the parish. And Junior B, lads, a cup is a cup.
Oh, a cup is a cup. A win is a win is a win, as they say.
Also, Jackie Highland from Inniscarra. That was down in County Cork. Well, Johnny, we've an old story of a coach of mine. I'm from Inniscarra in County Cork, a club. And one of the toughest men you'll ever meet. And back in his day in the 70s, he said, we used to play the city teams in championship. And he used to get cow shite and rub it on himself so that none of the opposition would get near him. He couldn't hack the smell.
Credit him, he's going over.
That's over. Commitment.
That is commitment, that's one thing for the club. We got a snap in from Harry. He said, I'd like to recommend Kyle Nelson as a legend. He played a whole season in centre half back. Not once did he ever solo the ball. He could never do it. He'd just bounce it and release it every time. And he still managed to get 1-4 in the championship semi-final. That's got to be like a Junior B. If he's getting away with that stuff.
Junior B all-star.
Yeah, definitely.
Killian from Chanelstown, how do you me? How do you?
Essentialstown.
Essentialstown. Who made that up?
Go again there. Sinanchalstown.
Sinanchalstown.
Big Joe Sheridan, boy.
That's where he's from.
Yeah.
Essentialstown in County Meath. He sent us in a video of a lad in their club called Skinner, who was marking the pitch during a Junior A football game, and I've seen it. He's down doing the end line and the D, and the ball is up the other end of the field.
You're joking me.
Yeah, and the boys are on the dugout are like, he was given a job to do and this is his only time to do it. He's doing it.
We will, if we have that video, we'll throw it up on our social media.
We surely
media.
Will from Sanchelstown.
We got a snap in from Sarah as well, and she said, I played County Camogie, but I'm visually impaired. I couldn't even see the ball until it was like a foot in front of me.
And I didn't believe her. I asked her, how did you manage?
And she said, I played it mainly through sound. Like, you can hear when the ball is hit and you just stick tight to the person you're marking, and when they run, you run. And she said, I've been a pile of social media recently because I became Ireland's first visually impaired rally navigator last year. And every interview, they always bring up Camogie and ask how I played it. Sarah, fair play to her.
I looked her up, yeah, she's a bit of a slab.
Playing by sound. She definitely played cornerback. It's the only position you get away with playing by sound, I can tell you that much.
Just
yeah.
Pulling the jersey.
Just pull the jersey, pulling the dragon.
Yeah. And there was another one, an old boy in their club heard that one of the dugouts was good luck. It was good luck if you had this dugout. So he actually went down the night before with a sleeping bag and slept in the dugout to make sure they had it.
Was it a county final or what was it?
What if he was starting on the team?
He was just wrecked. He was definitely surely a sub or a...
I know, he was a mentor.
Oh, okay, okay.
Go on. He told me the club, I think they were Kerry. And there's another one, the captain, also the full forward, had to leave his phone with the kit man in a county semi-final for updates as his missus was in labour at the time with her firstborn. I played Junior B when I was Junior B manager and player, our fullback, Paddy. He gave the phone to the selector. He arrived to the wedding. He arrived from a wedding. He arrived in a suit to the game. And just as we were going out in the field, we were doing the warm-up, and his phone rang, and he was a vet. And Noel ran over with the phone. And I could see him going, oh, yeah, no, I'll be down to you in about an hour and a half. I'm just down the Nair now on a call.
And he was going to play a hurling match.
And he was coming from a wedding.
Wow, I tell you, that is dedication.
Not a lot of heroes wear capes.
And we won.
Yeah, and you won, even better. Conal was in touch. He also said, I am from Derry Noose, a Gaelic club in Armagh. My mate's dad is one of the rarest men you'll ever meet. Rough as nails. His name is Tom Lennon. Turns up to train underage hurlers wearing his work boots, GA shorts, and a club jersey with the collar cut off. One of his best team talks includes, says, lads, give him this. And he's just holding up the end of a hurley. Fair play, that lad sound. I mean, work boots and GA shorts could be a whole new look. It's kind of like the full Monty meets GA.
Okay. This lad comes to my house every Saturday evening after a game with the full story and roundup. He travels a half hour to get water in the next county because he says it's the best of the best. One time he was sick, so someone else went and got the water for the team out of the tap like a normal person. The team lost that day and your man went full rant and quit being a selector for 2 years. Because they didn't get the lucky water from a different county.
That's crazy, that is. We got one in there from E. Kells. Could be Owen Kelly. Probably not, though. So in our club, everyone on the senior team does have a nickname, and the stories behind them are fairly funny. One lad is called the Pig, which is because he's fairly big lad, even though he's played county from under 12 to minor. Another lad's called the Bear because he's the hairiest man you'll ever see. Another's called the Mouse because he's tall. That doesn't make any sense. And myself, I'm called Mushy because I got the name from me father because he was caught crying. He was caught crying before. So he just caught crying once.
There'll be no crying around here.
But sure, the name stuck to him and has been passed on to me now. And this is obviously coming in from Wexford, of course. Where else?
For crying is outlawed. So. PJ Hughes, Cross Malina, Deal Rovers and Mayo. Man have every team sheet and scores in each game for the last 50 years. He's also the club photographer and famous for his commentary on Kieran MacDonald's 11 points in one game for the club. Getting a few nods, you remember this? Kieran MacDonald scores 11 points in one game and every time he gets the ball, PJ Hughes says, MacDonald a shot, MacDonald a point.
And I was questioning, was this true? And then I watched the video in the week and it is true. Every point is just MacDonald, shot, pint.
MacDonald a point. Who? Joe Mascarey scored a wonder goal getting us to the All-Ireland final. He's a chef, so held curry night to fundraise for the club. Ah, class. And he's a dual player, and that's from Nave Anna.
Wow, that's
curry night for the club.
Curry night. That's one GA fundraiser I've never heard of. And finally, to finish, there's a lad called the Hooker from my club Dune in Limerick, and he once cut the field and training pitch during the summer with a push lawnmower because a bairn was gone in the big lawnmower. Did it all because we'd an under 16 match on a day later, and it took the lad a full 24 hours, and he has a bandy knee too, and he's at least 70. I tell you one thing, that man deserves a Hall of Fame job now for that.
Full GA pitch with a push on lawnmower.
The full GA pitch and a training pitch with a push lawnmower. That's incredible. Absolutely incredible. I have to admire his dedication to the cause. But I mean, the big topic, Johnny, we want to talk about is the love of the club. We wanted to bring people on that journey from under six, pulling on tires to the whole eclipsing and playing at senior adult level.
That's right. Can we ask you, Paddy, your first memory playing GA? How did you get roped into it?
I think my brother could have been involved in managing the under 10, so I went up when I was about 4.
I think that's called daycare, Paddy.
Just to get me out of the house. And yeah, like that, it was jersey tucked into your shorts, coming out the bottom of the shorts. You were tripping over yourself. You didn't solo, you didn't hop the ball. You just put it under your arm and ran and then threw a kick at the end of it. But it was...
So nothing's changed then.
Nothing's changed, yeah.
Typical me, yeah.
But I think we were touching on that in the week, and we were saying with the club that one of the great sights in the club is when kids are starting earlier and earlier now, so they're coming down at under 5 and under 6, and like they're hurling with like an adult helmet on them. Because the parents are going like, you'll get used out of that, Tommy. Like, I know you're 5 now, but you'll be 25 someday.
He'll grow into it.
Yeah.
Size 8 boots.
Yeah, he's just bobbling around with his head, a big helmet on it. But it's great to see kids coming down. I mean, things have changed a bit in that. It's much more organised now, and membership and the way the clubs run themselves is much better. I mean, when we went down, it was just pulling on tyres
Yeah.
And general kind of fighting.
So I'm amazed now at like young lads doing all mobility.
Yeah.
Have you seen this? Like the young lads 6 to 8 doing squats and all. Mm. We have lads playing on our team who still can't do them.
Yeah.
And the children doing them.
At adult level. It's great. Like we seen a training session just before we were training and the under 6s and 8s were there. And it was so organised. It was brilliant. I remember playing, you know, under 12 and there was lads making daisy chains. Times have changed. And
Ross Gray by a sleeping giant at a knock.
There was one chap was obsessed with frogs. And he just spent the whole day going around chasing frogs around the side of the field.
That's why you transferred, is it?
Yeah, I had to transfer out. I wasn't into frogs at all, Paddy. You know?
Portions.
Well, what got me into the GA was the father. Mad into hurling. And actually, our house at home is 2-story. And one side of the house has no windows in it. The entire house is a big square wall just so we could play hurling up against it.
The gable end.
The gable end of the house.
The gable end, yeah.
I think everybody at the gable end and were wearing a slitter or a football off it.
The whole garden was designed around a hurling wall. Yeah. You think I'd be more skillful, like having a hurling wall in my house.
You didn't spend enough time on it. A big part of the underage culture in the club then is the parish leagues.
And I love parish league. I don't know what it's like up in Meath, but in Care, it's absolute. It's like Braveheart parish league stuff, right? It's gone down from under 12 to under 11. I think it's taken a bit of the cut out of the parish league.
It's taken some of the intensity out.
Yeah, parish league isn't quite as intense. But I got roped in last year on the winter parish league for hurling. I was reffing a game and this team, they lost like every game. And at half time in their second last game, they were losing like 5-1. You know, the grass is like a foot long and young lads all under 11s now. And like poor, it was a young lad of the Regans, is only 6. And they'd played an under 6 blitz and they were like, come on, we go for ice cream and chips afterwards. Like they're treating all the players. And he's like, no, I'm going playing the parish league. He's only under 6, like. So the ball bobbled in close to him and he pulled on it. And the grass was long. It kind of stopped on the line, over the line, but they had been bet 5-0. So I gave him the goal. Do you know what I mean? Second half, didn't they come back and win 6-5? The scenes on the sideline, it was like, do you see one of those Hollywood movies where like it cuts back to NASA and everyone is celebrating, throwing the papers in the air like, yes, we did it! Big, you know, orchestral music. And it was such an intense scene that they finally won a game. Aww. Then they got hammered in the next game, but like, you know.
To win just once, Johnny, to win just once. But, I mean, the real heroes down the club are all the coaches and the people who give their time, you know, of their own accord. I think that's what makes this the whole club scene so special. We, like, I've had some crazy coaches over the years, you know, great men who give up their spare time. I once had a coach who coached me from under 14 the whole way to minor, and he stopped speaking to me at 14. I got sent off in the North Final, and just communication broke down. And they used to do this thing in Ross Gray where they'd line the whole team up in the dressing room 1 to 15 as you're lined out on the field, and he would go along and he'd turn to the wing back. And he'd tell the wing back something. And then he'd be like, look, Sam, you know, keep it tight now. Nothing crazy. Flick it out the wings. And then he'd turn around to me, look me directly in the eye. And then just say, right, Jason, you want to move. He would just stop speaking to me the whole way. But he was a great coach all the same. He once hit me in the eye with a slitter. And I reckon he definitely meant it.
He did not mean that.
No, he was a great man. He's still there. And
Paddy, any coaches that stand out for you in your career?
I suppose that, like, you'd remember the coaches from under 8s, under 10s. Usually at that age group, it's probably somebody related to the family.
Yeah.
Either a brother, a father, an uncle, or one of the lads' fathers or brothers, you know, that sort of way. And you can't really fall out with them because at the end of the day, they'll bollock you on the pitch and then you still have to get into the car and go home. Yeah. You know, so.
And is Cullum involved in the club much when you were young? Cullum or Rook?
No, Cullum would be with Simonstown. So that'd be where he grew up with Screen, which is where I play football now, where the O'Rourkes would have moved from Leitrim to Screen back in the 60s, and they would have grown up there. And then he went on and built a house in Navan, just on the outskirts of Navan there. Yeah. So he's involved in Simonstown. So Shane, my cousin, would have played with Simonstown all the way up, and Cullum would have been involved, not so much in the underage of his teams, but then when it got to adult level, Cullum has been manager of Simonstown on and off there for the last 20 years.
Go ahead.
Yeah, like he'd give it 2 years and then he'd just say, oh, I'm finished. And then the next year, like that, they'd go around the table. And so is there anybody to take over the seniors? And he I'll take them again. I'll give it one more year. Yeah, so he stepped down. They won two on the bounce there. Shane won two county medals and Cullen was manager.
Yeah.
And then he stepped down last 2017 and moved on. So I'd say now he could be finished in the club management.
We never tended to go and play with them. They seem to be winning everything. Yeah. you want to build a house by Nelly over there.
Get a job and get a house in Navan.
Yeah, there you go.
And skip in. Then screen and start winning.
He never managed you.
He managed me in St. Pat's, yeah. I went to Navan, St. Pat's in Navan, and I remember because it was tough love, because you were related to him. He was manager, I was in goals, and we played a challenge match against DCU's first year team, and we thought we'd a decent enough school team. We went up and played them in challenge, and about 5 minutes into the game, they got through, and I didn't come off my line to close down the fella coming through. So he started barking at me from the sideline. 2 minutes later, lad gets through again, didn't come off my line. Next thing, whips me off, you know, and standing beside him on the sideline, and I was like, what? And he goes, you didn't come off your line. So I was like, right, here we go. Like, so no matter what you did in school, the story would get home before you would. So yeah. if you did something wrong in Navan, you know, you get off the bus outside the in Rafai and you'd be walking up the road and the owl would be waiting for you at the gate, like, so he'd have already rang ahead.
I heard you didn't come off your line.
Will you come off your line, Patrick? Patrick, come off your line.
it's an uncanny impression of Colin O'Rourke. Okay,
but it is at home like that. A lot of people learn the skills.
Yeah,
my father done a right one. He got 1.5-inch pipe, and you know the pipe that like plumbers have for bending it.
Yeah,
yeah. Bend two pipes and another one, then bang, goalposts.
He couldn't be doing with buying the one for €14
from the. They wouldn't last down in Tipperary. That
pipe one.
Homemade goalposts are the only job. Come on.
The two boys. I got suspended in secondary school because we mitched after lunch one day. We went and watched Mercy were playing Loretto in a hockey match. So it was the two girls' schools.
And you've been an avid hockey fan.
Massive, massive hockey fan. So anyway, there was a gang of us went down and watched this game. It brought Navan to a standstill. And I think Loretto won 1-0. I can't really remember. But we got suspended and we were walking back up into the school. There was four of us. Call him son Shane, and then there was three cousins, so three of his nephews and his son, and he pulled like 30 of us into the canteen, and he started reading us the riot act. The next thing, suspended the whole lot of us. Right, got home. My dad was going to England the next day, and there was an A4 sheet of paper with a list of jobs on the farm waiting for me. It was like as if they got right. Patrick went to a hockey match today. I'm going to have to suspend him because I caught him with everybody in the school. And next thing, at least I had to spread fertiliser, I had to milk. There was a lean-to shed, had to be forked out. There was straw up to your ankles. I was up past your knees. Next thing, the whole lot had to be done anyway. Right, right. You'll never, ever, ever be laid back after lunch again, Patrick.
I said that was the last hockey match you ever went to bed.
Oh, I love hockey.
But moving on then, you know, through the club, you're into your teenage years then, the formative years as such, and there's like a stage where you transition to being an adult. We seem to lose a few players between getting to that kind of adult phase, I think.
16, 17, 18.
16, 17, 18, yeah. There is a little bit of dropout, like people find other activities. Players excel at other things.
Girls.
Some lads just wanted to like buy a car and drive around and stuff.
That was kind of the thing.
Bapping the horn.
Yeah.
Bapping.
That kind of thing, like, you know, lads thinking they were cool. But no, I mean,
if you were playing GA, you probably didn't have a car.
Yeah, definitely not, because you spent all your time, you know, you'd be training every night and stuff, and you couldn't have a part-time job, really. Well, you'd try your best, like, but... Like, I remember working a split shift when I was 16, so that I could go and play a match. I remember going back into the job like for like 6 euro an hour, thinking like, I think I just play at the club hurling. Like, there's more glory in that than this. Like, so, it was an easy decision for me. But
did you play during your leaving cert?
Yeah, yeah.
Paddy.
Yeah.
Maura.
No.
You stopped playing for the leaving cert.
Yeah.
And that's why Maura has such a success.
No, I played Gaelic football in secondary school, and then I don't know, because it was a convent school, they kind of just discouraged you from playing it. Whereas the boys' schools, you're like, they were let go out training 3 or 4 times a week if they wanted to. I'd be like, don't worry about the points, like, you know. So
points over the bar, that's what we want to get.
I thought being a county minor was enough to get into a college course. I was badly mistaken.
No, I loved, I played all through Leinster, thought it was great. Break for the old head lad.
But that's the thing, it does, it takes you away, and you can, you have that element, all your friends are around the club, you know, you're having a great time, you're training, you're enjoying yourself.
It's exercise.
It takes away from depression and stuff like that. And recent age changes in the GA, has probably helped that as well. I mean,
going to under 17.
Yeah, it's probably a wise decision in that it's taking the pressure off lads in fifth year, although I don't think it does any harm anyway if you're doing your leaving cert and playing at the same time. But, you know, I guess, what's your opinion on that?
I like that under 17s aren't playing adult.
Yeah.
That only came in a year ago, I think. Because there's always, you remember, you see lads, they come out under 16 and they're running rings around everyone under 16. And then they go playing Junior B and like some sod buster from Marlefield like mulches them with a big shoulder. So having that extra year is probably a good thing. So you were probably playing senior at 16, were you?
Yeah, I started playing when I was 15.
Senior?
Yeah, well, I was in goal, so it was a little bit different. But at the same time, like,
What height were you at that stage?
I hit a growth spurt. I broke my leg when I was 15 and I hit a growth spurt. I probably grew about 6 inches in about 6 weeks.
Did they put something into the leg or something? No, booster in there.
No, the left leg stopped growing, so I have a bit of a limp. but you hear about it, like back when I was going through school, there were some lads from rural parishes, and because they were short in numbers and to fulfil fixtures and get, let's say, the B League or the second team or the third team, there was lads playing adult football at 14, 15, just to stand in corner forward, just to make sure that they had 15 lads on the field to start the game, or, you know, to finish out the game. Like, it was, yeah, the increase in age is obviously positive, but at the same time, you know, it never really done anybody any harm. I think there's a massive change in lads between when we were, let's say, 10 years growing up. I thought we were a little bit more mature at our age compared to 15, 16, 17 year olds nowadays.
Do you think so?
I think so, yeah. I think there's a big difference. Like,
wait, what are you seeing?
I think lads nowadays are a little bit more childish. They're not as mature. I like, you wouldn't pluck a lad out of an under 16 team now and say, right, he could go in and play corner forward. You know, I think when I was growing up, that was it. When you were 16, you wanted to go onto the senior team. You were ready to go train. You wouldn't miss a senior training. You'd tip away on, let's say, the junior team or that.
Yeah.
I think nowadays, lads are a little bit more,
they're probably minded younger, that little bit better. Yeah. And they are that little bit more sheltered to. Like, I could be completely wrong here, but when I played under 16, we seemed a lot bigger than under 16s now.
Yeah.
I genuinely think lads are getting smaller, and girls are getting smaller as well. Yeah.
What?
Boys and girls at 16 were bigger 10, 15 years ago.
I don't know. I don't know about this.
That's a fact. Maura, Google that. That's, if there's something, surely some sort of a fact Google we can get there.
That's made up in your head.
Our lads, I was huge at under 16. Maybe it was just me. Like,
so were you. You were a big man at 16, yeah?
Yeah, well, I think, like, growing up, you would have had a lot more outside activities, like after school and that.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have been playing PlayStation. You wouldn't have been sitting in after school. You would have been out and about with your friends on the bike, up and down, chasing silage tractors up and down the road. Where is he cutting grass?
We're not that old.
I remember back in the 80s, Paddy, you know, the county final of 85 particularly was.
Father would give me a farthing.
But I mean, like, our memories of first entering the senior setup then, just so we can go full circle, you're playing for the club, senior level, things are serious. Like, first introduction to the dressing room, I think, is like, it's crazy. It's almost scary. Like, I can remember in Ross Gray, like, you know, I went training, John Carroll was there, and I was like, oh, he's a man, like, you know. You know, and he was a man. He was
a man.
But getting introduced to characters like that, I think that's the essence of the club. That's what it's all about. Yeah. Like, I'd watched him on television, like, and it was like, oh my god, I'm in the same changing room as him, like, it was magic, like. And I think that is the thing in the club, and even local heroes in the club. Do you know, they don't have to be county stars, like. Do you know, like, when I moved to Care, I played with Benny Hickey, and I just thought, like, he kicked the ball over from the 45 wand. I was like, is he actually god? I think that's what the club's all about.
Yeah,
playing with these heroes, like,
it is. But it's some way to tie a community together. Like at under 16s, like I fall in with the seniors there for a training session.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, straight away, I know 30 lads and they'd all die for you.
I think the sense of community can't be overlooked in the club as well, and how important it is. Like, we touched on it when we were chatting about this topic and stuff like that. We're saying, you know, the GAA club is the centre of every parish. I mean, it means everything to play for the club. And like, I would have played soccer and other sports, but nothing gets me going like playing for the club, like the playing for that little community. And if something goes wrong in the community, if there's a funeral, if there's something, it's the GAA club boys are out. They've got the high-vis jackets on them. They're directing traffic. They're just always there for everything. Now, so their traffic directing skills aren't great all the time. But, I mean, they make an attempt. But that's what I'm trying to say here is how important the club is and to the whole community, not just to the boys playing it.
Like, in a small place like where you're from, Paddy, now, the club must be the nucleus, the heart of things.
Yeah, you drive through screen and blink and you'd miss it. Like, there's... It's split, a screen or a five. There's two primary schools, and you come in, like, literally the N2 services Dublin to Derry and the N3 Cavan to Dublin, and we're sandwiched in between the two of them.
Lovely.
And literally, it's a link road going between, and there's a crossroads, there's a pub, shop.
A famous pub.
Swan's pub, yeah, at the crossroads. And that's...
It's in Guinness ad, isn't it?
Oh, no, that's Mrs. O's. That's the Hill of Screen, yeah. But like that in... Literally, you drive through it. There's a church. You come down into the parish. There's a church. There's a national school. You come down to the crossroads, Swans, pub, shop. And then you drive on and you're gone through it. There's the football pitch. There's the church and there's a pub.
And you're senior football?
Senior football, yeah. We're actually quite lucky that we are the longest serving senior club at the moment in Mead. We're senior since 38.
Jeez, you must have a tiny population, like, have you?
I think there's something like 700 houses or 700 families in the parish of Screen, Rathfoy, and it's just like that. It's just a way of life, GAA club.
I think the smaller parishes are almost, like that's why you see the likes of Mullin Nocta doing so well this year in the club championship and so. Mm. A small parish where, like, it's completely life, like there's nothing else going on.
Mm.
But that club.
If you miss training, it's noticed. And
yeah. You know, in, like, for us in the town, like, you might see a lad and you might see him for 2 weeks, like, and there's not too many questions asked because there's a different mentality between the town and the village, like. And I think, like, looking at what they did in Mullinocta, my God, like, when you love to be part of a club like that, where it's so together.
But they always say, this might be just an old GAA wives' tale, they always say the villages are kind of harder bet.
Yeah.
That, like, if you... You know, the big town might be the favourite, and then the village would hang in there, and then, like, we'll get him, like, you know, the village mindset, they'd hang in.
The old Lochmore never bet.
Yeah, whereas when the pressure comes on the big towny team,
They're turning themselves.
They'll turn.
They'll turn.
They'll turn on each
put
other.
Put the pressure on and they'll crumble. They'll crumble.
The old grey quote comes out, lads, look, they're fighting with each other now.
Yeah, that's the one.
Put them to the pin of the car.
Yeah, so, like, everybody in screen, like, the involvement level must be massive.
Huge, yeah. Like, we're lucky in the primary school that some of the teachers there are just staunch GAA men. And in screen now, we're lucky that Mickey Newman, playing with Mead, one of the main men on the Mead team at the moment, is a primary school teacher in the screen primary school. So, like, the involvement from all the kids, they're going into school looking at him as their hero.
Yeah.
And then he's coaching them in the evenings and PE and that sort of stuff. Like, so
they're not doing any schoolwork at all. Yeah. Yeah.
The knock-on effect there is massive, you know. And like, probably, like, the way it is probably in every in parish, and that we've an ambassador from the club who goes into the two national schools and does GAA coaching twice a week. And then that encourages lads, well, you're getting coached with your friends in school.
Yeah.
We'll go up to the parish then, up to screen, and we'll play with the club then underage, you know.
It can happen the other way. If you have a bad school,
yeah.
It can backfire on you that, like, parents are like, I don't want to send him to a bad school. I'll send him to a school 10 miles away. And then the kids are like, I want to play with my friends.
Yeah. I went to a country school that was just like, hurling was the only curriculum, and we were made play it every day at lunchtime. But, like, there's some great players that have come out. Like, I won an Offaly county medal in there because the school was in Offaly. But, like,
this changes everything.
Yeah, I think, like, 6 of the 15 on that team went on and played at Offaly.
Wow.
Yeah, I obviously didn't go on and play with it. But that was the thing. School, you know, it's bred into you there and it benefits. And you take that through the whole way of life. And I mean, talking about the club and how serious everybody's taking it and how much we're all involved. Like, AIB have been sponsoring the club championship for 28 years. Things have changed in 28 years of the club championships. I mean, it was, you know, we're all together, kind of a social event, playing for the club. Now, it's almost taken on an era of professionalism, even at club level. Like, we all know the stories with county level.
Yeah.
But at club level, it's...
Oh, yeah. It's like, I was just thinking there, it's like, the reason I wanted to play Gaelic football was that my mother was really good Gaelic footballer, way better than I ever was. Like, but same time, savage woman for the Bacardi and 40 major a day.
Like, great crack.
Yeah. But like, it's just, you think now, if I tried playing like that or like doing any kind of sport, I'd be like gassed out, you know. But sure, and her, no problem. If you major there at, you know, the half time, you know, it'd be grand. Great.
The lad who took over managing care cause of a night out.
Yeah. What?
We beat Ballynail in the intermediate.
Oh, yes, yeah. We won a championship game. It's going back 4 or 5 years ago when we were intermediate. And, like, one of the lads' fathers, we finally won a championship game. We hadn't won one in a couple of years. And we all went out and had such a great night. And the music was playing. We're all enjoying ourselves. And he seen this and thought, this is class. And then he took over the team the following year. And I met him and I was like, what made you take us over? And he was like, it was a good night out we had that night. His premise for taking the job was like, we'll have some crack if we win. Now, we lost our first two championship games and he stood down halfway during the season. But, you know.
That man, when I was over at the Junior B's in Care, we had a lad playing in midfield. Like, he was really good, but he had a habit of dropping the head the odd time. And I had a guy in corner forward who, well, God loves a tryer. So the lad in corner forward was walking around going, I'm getting no ball. I haven't touched the ball all day. And then the guy in midfield, we were losing the game and he had dropped a head. And I says to him, what are we doing? He says, tell the two of them to switch. So your man comes in from corner forward. He runs out the field. He's running around mad. Sure, he's getting on no ball. And the other lad is dragging the hurley, dragging his heels, and he's slowly walking in towards corner forward. And the ball actually hits off him because he's 40 yards out of position. He picks it up and sticks it over the bar. And it was like, awesome score. And the selector turns to me, master stroke.
But I mean, that's how things have changed. Things are so serious now. Paddy, like you're a senior football club.
Yeah, would you be taking it serious now?
Oh, yeah. We're after putting in our own gym facilities there at the club. So our training is either, if you're not doing the gym with the group during the week, you have to go down and do maybe two gym sessions on your own during the week, you know, and it's built into our schedule. Like, we get sent out, your plan for the next 3 months is, these are our training dates, organise yourself around that.
Yeah.
We're not organising around you, they're set in stone. We have your fixtures, we're playing such and such a date, be there, or else, you know, that's the way it is. It's gone that way that, look, if you want to put the time into this, is,
yeah,
it's not a hobby anymore, you know. You're putting so much of your life into it. Lads coming down from Dublin to train midweek, you're playing games. Like, it's that serious now that there's no point in doing it, you know, 70%, you know. Yeah. You have to just jump into it 100%, or else you're not going to get the benefits out of it.
Like, yeah. We see it ourselves in trying to play. Like, we're still trying to play with our club. Like, I'm trying to play the senior football. And I just, like, genuinely, we're training hard. We've got really good young players. And because of the nature of our job and that we'll miss a bit, like, I just can't get to the level to actually play it. And it's as you said, half arsenal. Like, it's kind of, you're trying to do everything, but you're doing nothing at the same time.
Man, I feel like if you were born in the 70s, you'd be an all-star.
Yeah. Oh, man. Like, pure Jimmy Keaveney style.
Oh,
catch it and kick it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's the thing. That's how it's gone. That's how it's progressed. You see Carl Finn and Dr. Crokes, you know, they're going head-to-head in the football. I mean, what sort of sacrifices will these lads have made to get that far? Like, I'm assuming they're missing stags, they're probably missing weddings, you know, they're probably saying to their missus, like, cancel that foreign holiday, we're after getting into an All-Ireland semi. Like, is this actually what's going on with these lads?
I'd say for the likes of those clubs that are, you know, they would nearly have one eye on St. Patrick's Day at the beginning of each year, because they're thinking, right, we have a bunch of lads here that are good enough to win our county, number one. Like, if they can get out of their county, number one, then they're thinking, right, we're gonna look at going to Croker. You know, I think Carrafin, if they can get out of Galway, they nearly have the confidence then we'll win Connacht.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think that they got brought to a replay. Was it earlier? Or was it 2017 that they get brought to a replay in to get out of Galway and then won the replay? And now they're out, and it's just kind of like, you know, they just kind of breathe a sigh of relief. And then they get on with it, you know.
But, like, they must love it. Like, I mean, they're training and all. It must run fair smooth. That every fella, like, if they were just being flogged, like, they had a calf, you'd get one or two good years and they die. But their clubs must be ran so smoothly, so well, that they keep coming back.
I'd say the reward. Sorry, Mara.
No. I was just going to say, the coach of Molignacta, Mickey, he's now the manager of Cavan.
Mickey Graham, isn't it?
Yes, Mickey Graham. He was. I was just kind of chatting to him because they're on the late, and I was just chatting about how the club was run and all that stuff. And it's not about how hard you train or anything like that. That's a certain amount. It was what he said after the training was most part. There was a social aspect. So you had lads living all over the country, like lads, guards in Dundalk, lads working in companies in Dublin, and they'd all come in for the like 20 minutes, half an hour after training today. And somebody's wife or mother would have made a tray of sandwiches, and they sit down and have the crack and catch up with each other. And you know, they wouldn't see each other, you know, from one end of the week to the other, only at training. So that was kind of a big part of what drove them to make every training session, you know.
That's the thing though about rural teams, like our neighbouring clubs out the road, say like Banshee. I mean, how many of them lads work in Banshee?
Very little.
What keeps them together is the fact that they all come home for training. And you might be given out, oh, I have to go home for training. But sure, if you weren't, you'd totally lose track of all the friends you grew up with and the place you're from. Mm-hmm. You feeling me?
I'm feeling it. I mean, looking ahead, Paddy, to the All-Ireland Club Final, the St. Patrick's Day date, as you said, is tradition. These lads will have one eye on that. You're not in favour of playing on St. Patrick's Day.
Well, I don't know. What are your thoughts on the fact that the club final is on 17th of March?
I think there's something special about the club finals being on St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
Yeah, the season is long, and you know, if you make it that far, you're probably into the next season of maybe league games, or you're prepping for your championship is getting ready. But like, you'll always remember certain games on St. Paddy's Day. Like, you remember where you were when Colin Corkery scored that point to win for Nemo. Right? You know what I mean? It's synonymous with St. Paddy's Day club final day. You know, you get to break Lent. You have a big box of sweets there. You roll up in front of the TV. If you're lucky enough, you'll be brought up to Croker on club final day. But I would be in favour of maybe condensing the club calendar.
Yeah.
But then, on hindsight, because there's such a love with St. Patrick's Day, when you say St. Patrick's Day in the GAA family around Ireland, the first thing you think of is club finals.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, so where do you get the balance there? I love it.
I'd prefer to see it in St. Patrick's Day than to see it being played in December in bad weather.
Yeah.
I have.
And same with it being in Croke Park.
It has to be Croke Park.
It has to be like, that's the pinnacle. That's where you dream of playing your football growing up. When any young lad in a club is pulling on a pair of boots, that's where you. If you went to a rugby club, they want to play in the Aviva. They want to be Johnny Sexton in the Aviva.
Yeah.
When you're playing GAA, you want to be in Croke Park. If you're a Dub, you want to be Kieran Kilkenny in Dublin.
Yeah.
Playing in Croke Park on a All-Ireland final day. If you're a club player, that's where you want to be. You want to be there. In Croke Park on St. Paddy's Day.
That's the thing. I think if you go down to Ballyhale or up to St. Thomas's and you ask them where would you like the game to be played?
Sure, lads, wouldn't Semple be as handy for you?
Yeah, typical Tipperary man. We want every game played in Semple.
Best surface in Ireland.
Yeah. But like, genuinely, you ask them boys, they'll want to play All-Ireland Final Paddy's Day at Croke Park. That's probably what they said. Like, as you said, like those bigger clubs, the likes of Ballyhale and Thomas's, they're probably thinking like, Paddy's Day, that's where we want to be. Yeah. Whereas like, we're thinking like, God, if we could just win our first league game, it'd be great.
Get to the quarter final and we'll readjust. We'll regroup. Yeah. We'll have a meeting. We'll get the committee down.
We might even have a day away bonding. Yeah. No, let's not
do a fundraiser.
Yeah. Let's not get carried away.
You know, our club have started doing soup and sandwiches after training now.
Yeah.
And it's some crack.
Yeah, the small thing helps. Like that little 10 minutes of having a cup of soup.
Back to what Mara was saying about Molinocta. Like, it's the sense of community. Like that. you get in there, you'd have more crack in that 5 or 10 minutes having a cup of tea and a few sandwiches or a bowl of soup after training than you would in the 2 hours previous, you know.
Oh yeah,
the young lads. The young lads now, all they want is on the WhatsApp here, and they're kind of going, any chance we can get some music in the dressing room before training? And
go away.
You're like, what?
Do you think it's a nightclub?
They're like, yeah, well, like it can get a bit intimidating, you know, when you're sitting beside lads that you don't really know, like, and I don't really talk to them week on week, but if we could get some music in the dressing room, that'd really liven things
up. They want a load of Drake playing now and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, you'd be like, would you do up a podcast or a playlist there? And you're kind of going,
lads, this isn't...
Where in God's name would you go and look for that song? And you're kind of going, did you not hear that yet? Oh, you're kind of going, oh, here.
I wonder what Colin would think of that.
Patrick!
Post Malone! A bit of Declan Ernie, lad. Get you rocking. Oh,
stop the whirl and let me off.
But again, the big match build-up. What's going to be going on in those towns? You've got flags, the whole lot. I mean, there's big enough pressure here when you're playing the local rivals.
Yeah.
Imagine what it's like playing in that.
Playing your local rivals is different to everything else. Yeah. Like for us, if we could just beat the local rivals, if we'd nearly just, right, that'll do. Yeah. We won't bother playing the rest of the games. Yeah. You know?
Life stops. Like,
We've won. We finally done it.
Last year, we the first round of the senior championship, we were drawn against our neighbours, which is Curragha. And they were after been on an amazing run from junior up into intermediate, won intermediate, and it was their first year in senior. But there was the back, the history was that John McDermott had left Curragha to go to Screen because they were a junior club and we were senior. And he went on and represented Meath for years. Uh-huh. And then there was another fella had left at 18 and joined Screen when they were junior. Now they had gone up to senior.
Yeah.
Then we were drawn in the first game in the club championship last year and into Navan there, massive crowd, biggest crowd you've seen our first round game, you know, and welcome Screen now onto the pitch, and everyone just clapped, and then next Curragha onto the pitch. You know, it was
like Braveheart.
There was painted cars on the road, all that. They were just, it brings people together, like, it's mad, the rivalry, the local rivalry can't be matched.
So
I don't think it can be explained either.
No.
Like that crowd out there who are really the exact same as us but 5 miles away, like, I hate them, you know. Yeah. And you don't really.
There's two club teams in our parish. There's Drumconnet and Meath Hill. But the thing is, they at senior or they play junior at junior level, they hate each other. But the thing is, they play underage the whole way up together under 18. Just like, oh, get on the bus and it's only 18. I hate those Meath Hill lads. Yeah.
I think that rivalry thing is, it's like when I transferred to Care. So, like, you know, coming to a new club, I wasn't long being sat down and said, right, see those guys in that colour? We hate them.
And now you hate them too.
Yeah, it gets bred into you. Like, but that's...
And what was it like transferring, Johnny?
You see, I had previously tried to transfer to a different club.
Why?
Because I had played football and our club was they're flying at the moment with football since I left. But at the time, we weren't particularly into football. We were more of a hurling club. And I wanted to play football. I had aspirations of playing football at senior level with Tip. Obviously, didn't happen. But I tried to transfer to play a senior football, club football, rather than junior. And that was rejected. I was told I could go to any club I wanted except that club.
So. But that club was the only senior football team.
It was the nearest, yeah.
In the north?
Yeah. But they weren't in the north. They were in a different division.
Oh, they're in the mid?
Yeah. So
that's why you took the opportunity to come all the way to Care.
All the way to Care. A whole hour, lad. As you were saying earlier on, lads.
You swear it was a province.
Yeah.
North, mid, and south. Like,
I'm telling you, Paddy,
it's 20 minutes from top to bottom. Like,
the Northerners are in. Ross Gray and Nina. Yeah.
But that's the joys of it. That's the joys.
Well, did you feel welcomed when you came to a new club?
I did. Within 2 weeks, I was living with you. So. And, so these lads who were facing into the All-Ireland Club Finals, you know, on Paddy's Day, there's a thing now, the AIB Club All-Star Awards. Me and Johnny done a bit of work at it last year, and it's brilliant to see the club players being rewarded in that way. Do you think, genuinely now, because I know it would be in my head, do you think lads are going out thinking, oh, I'd love to get a club All-Star now? And how important is that All-Ireland final day? You know, if you go well in Croke Park, you're probably in the hunt.
I'd say a lot of the lads probably wouldn't be thinking the same as you now.
I'd have the suit picked out, Paddy. Yeah.
I'd say any lad that's serious about his club football now would not be thinking like you now. But we'd we can just draw a line in the sand.
And I wonder, like, you know, and I wonder why I didn't get to the top of the game. Yeah. You know, maybe it was probably that.
You were thinking about All-Stars when you were playing Junior A for Hainan. Yeah. I have to, at the club All-Stars last year, the guys from Schlockneil. Drove down, six of them were nominated and drove straight home again afterwards because they had a league game the next day.
Yeah, it's...
That is some
kind of... It's a religion up there, you know, like it's just the club comes first up there. Like if you look at...
They're one of the great clubs in Ireland.
Yeah, without question. Like between their camogie team, their ladies football team, the lads playing hurling and the lads playing football, like what they're achieving up there for a rural parish, like if you you think about down here or think about in Meath, but what they're doing up in Derry, massive. Like if they could get the same commitment levels into the county setup in Derry that they're getting in that one club and the club championship, like they'd be pulling crowds of 4,000 or 5,000 for the first round of championship up there.
Yeah.
Once they get, you know, like you've Ballanderry, you've Schlockneil, you know, Ballaghy up there, like they're serious teams. But at the same time, when it comes to the club in Schlockneil, it's just, that's just it.
I wonder why they don't get the same pull, you know, they don't get the same intensity when it comes to the county up there. The club scene is so strong that it overshadows the county scene up there.
But if that club scene is so strong and there's, you know, such competitiveness between clubs, you know, maybe they just don't get along with other lads. You know, that it can happen, like.
Yeah.
You know, if they're, like, they've been in All-Ireland semi-finals in the hurling, they were beaten by Coola.
Yeah.
And then they were in the All-Ireland final beaten by Dr. Crokes there, was it 2 years ago?
In the football, yeah.
Yeah, Gooch's first club All-Ireland. And, you know, they're getting the rewards out of that, some of the club lads, and you're saying they're getting club All-Stars out of it, and they're getting the recognition that way, that they know, we win Derry, we've a great chance of winning the Ulster, which is, you know, Cross McGlenn have dominated up there, you know, and like Ballanderry from Derry as well would have always been locked horns with Cross McGlenn back in the day. They can get into Ulster, get a run going and win. They're thinking, right, we're gonna win an Ireland club medal.
Yeah.
Like after, you know, the lads have said, like, after their All-Irelands, would they swap? Like, you've seen some of the chronicles there on AIB, and you hear, was it Tomás O'Shea or Mark O'Shea saying about being bet in 2004 in the All-Ireland club final, would he swap an All-Ireland medal with Kerry for go back to on Gaeltacht winning the club final in 2004? And he'd have no problem swapping. Like, it's that important to them, you know, to get that one opportunity to win an Ireland club medal is massive. It's huge, you know. Like you'd be feeling, if you could win that, you'd throw the boots in the corner. That's it. Good luck.
Like, as they say, the toughest competition, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, what would you see, like, yourself now, playing with the county, to playing with the club, the big differences?
Since I went back with them, you know, it's...
Well, you played with the club while you were still playing with the county, did you?
Yeah, like we'd kind of be released early on in the year. Like, there's a rule in Meath where you have to play, let's say, maybe the first 3 club matches. And then in April would always be championship. We'd play 2 rounds of championship in April. And then in between, let's say, like, take for example, this weekend is a break in the league for the county league. And if you're maybe from, if you're a goalie, you'd be released back because the risk of getting hurt would be smaller than a fell out the field. So let's say number 2 to 15, if you're after playing 3 or 4 games with the county, you might be told, right, look, play a half an hour at most.
Okay.
Mind yourself. And from 16 to 34, get out, play a match.
Yeah.
We want to see you playing a game. You know, yeah. You don't want to be a professional trainer at the end of the day. Like,
yeah.
We need to see you playing. Like, it'd be kind of like the Cody model in Kilkenny. It's... If you're not doing it for the club, you're not much good to my county team. Yeah. So at every opportunity, we want to see you in a game situation where, like that, the club is most important. You want to put it all on the line for your club. Go out. You're going to be playing against lads of similar standard who are other county lads. You could be going out there marking a lad from the county panel in a club match, you know, where you've been training and kind of going maybe 70%, 80%. You don't want to get hurt. You don't want to risk missing a league match. But then you go back to the club and it's hell for leather.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of like, this is it. There's 2 points up for grabs here. And, you know, you might get a pint afterwards.
And the county man, he's the marked man, like.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
everyone
yeah.
wants
oh,
to see hello. Him. How did he do? Oh, he was quiet against screen now in the championship. You know, I don't know about him, you know.
I don't know how he's on that county.
Now, bear in mind, he was man-marked by four fellas.
And the referee gave him absolutely nothing. You've an ego about you, O'Rourke.
That's definitely been said to you, Paddy. Brilliant stuff. Paddy, put your money where your mouth is. Who's going to win?
It's been billed as one of the greatest finals
yeah.
because you've the two best club teams
that
we,
football inside
yes
as well,
that we've in seen football, like and Dr. Crokes can mix it, you know, if you want to go full court press and play football, they'll out football you, and the last couple of games you can see that they're maybe playing just to win, like against Mullinocht, they went down by like it was 2-2 to maybe 4 or 5 points after 10-15 minutes, and then they were down a man. So then they decided, you know what, we'll just drop back slightly.
Mm.
We'll condense the pitch and then we'll break and we'll pick you off scoreways, you know. So, and the way Cardiff Inn played last year in the first 15 minutes of the All-Ireland final last year in Croker was just like. If you wanted to show kids how to play football properly,
yeah.
you'd show them that first 15-20 minutes of how they played. It was one touch forward, get the ball, a nice pass in front of Ian Burke inside, and the boys coming off the shoulder, like Farrar coming from midfield, and that Gary Sice as well. Like, it's going to be, hopefully, I don't want to put a dampener on
it's
it.
It's going to be 5 points to four now, Paddy.
It'll be the worst game of football ever. I think Cardiff Inn could do it. Like I think that if they produce what they did last year,
yeah.
and the way they were just look so natural in Croke Park, good pitch, big wide spaces.
It's good enough pitch, in fairness.
it's decent enough. Yeah, like you'd want to have the old steel cogs on there now. Yeah,
this weather, Johnny. Who's going to win the hurling?
Oh, I have no idea.
Our former Care Junior B hurling expert.
Unfortunately, I think the Kilkenny boys are going to do it. Yeah,
TJ Reid bite.
They're not going to like you in Galway after that.
No, they weren't mad about me anyway.
We leave it there, so. All right, she's got to cast off her arm. There's no stopping her now. Here with a special club-related mystery topic. Maura, what is this week's mystery topic?
Okay, so you know the way I love throwing you under the bus? I thought I'd leave it to your clubmates to throw you under the bus. So I have gotten some information from them. I've done a little quiz. It's called Know Your Clubmates Quiz. Paddy, you're going to help me keep score here, if that's okay.
You're not which, our clubmates.
Which club now are you talking about for Smacks? Because he's played with a few.
His current club, his current love.
Like Robbie Keane, lad.
Like Tiger Woods, he's more clubs in his bag there.
I'm mortified now.
Okay, so I have 7 rounds of questions. So we'll start you off nice and easy. Smacks, you're closest to me, so I'll start to you. When I asked your clubmates who is least likely to pass the ball, Johnny B or Johnny Smacks, who did the far majority of them say?
I'd say every one of them said me.
Correct. Johnny B, when I put that question to your teammates, which of these 4 following answers was not a real response? Smacks, direct quote, why would I pass to you when I can put it wide myself? B, this isn't even debatable. When Smacks gets the ball, the rest of the team may as well drop their hurlies. Nobody on our team is going to get to see the ball until the next puck out. C, Smacks only passes if he Smacks only passes if he has to. He wants all the glory. And D, Smacks is least likely to pass the ball, but when he does pass the ball, it's from when he gets tired from running.
E, all of the above.
That's true. I'm thinking the first one is slightly off. Smack says, why would I pass the ball when I can put it wide myself? Johnny says, why would I pass the ball when I can put it over myself? So
this isn't painting me in a good light.
In the football, you might pass it a bit now.
Yeah, yeah, that's tougher.
In the hurling, he never passes. I think you're dead right, though.
Yeah, thanks, John. Thanks for that.
A, B, C or D?
D.
Correct. 1-1. Round 2.
When I find out who gave these quotes.
Round 2. Johnny Smacks, when I asked who tries the hardest out on the pitch, Johnny B or Johnny Smacks, Who did your teammates unanimously choose?
Why is he getting all the easy questions?
Stephanie, Johnny B.
Yes, yeah. Correct.
Don't like work.
Johnny B, when I asked your teammates this question, which animal related analogy did they use to describe your on pitch performance? A, workhorse. B, like a mad terrier flying around constantly. Or C, both of the above.
This is to describe his performance.
Yes. A, workhorse. B, like a mad terrier. Or C, both of the above.
Probably C.
Correct.
Mad terrier, right?
Two out of two.
I would have said a wolfhound. That.
Johnny Smacks, how did your clubmates say you react to losing a game?
I would assume they just say I go and enjoy myself socially.
Incorrect. They said that you go home, switch off the phone, and are not seen for days.
Yeah, I don't like clues.
Okay, so Johnny B, how did your clubmates say you react to losing a game?
Getting pizza and giving out.
No, apparently you go to the gym the next morning.
Yeah, I do. Yeah,
or up the mount.
Just go running. Yeah. Sure. Hoping I bump into one of the opposition teams.
Up the mountain.
Round four. Smacks, I asked your teammates what their first impression of you was when you moved to Kerr. Which of the following terms did they not use to describe you? A, shaper. B, ponce. Or C, humble.
Definitely humble.
Correct.
Who called him a ponce?
I can check.
Oh, yeah. I'll be checking.
Johnny B, when one of your teammates first saw you at hurling at minor level, according to him, you were wearing, quote, old black worn boots, a Metallica t-shirt, and a ponytail tucked in at the back.
Yeah.
But what kind of shorts were you wearing?
At hurling training, what kind of shorts was I wearing? God, you've got me there.
Definitely a pair of Bermudas or something.
Oh, Smacks, you're not wearing cargo shorts.
Hurling training.
I tell you, if I'd have met you back then, we'd have never been friends.
Oh, that's gas.
Why you got that wrong?
Smacks, against which team did your clubmates say you had your best on-pitch performance? A, Thomas McDonagh's in the senior football semi-final in 2014. B, last weekend against Ardfinnan.
Do you want to let people in on the joke, Johnny? No.
What happened last weekend?
Never you mind, Patrick.
It's not B anyhow, can you?
C, against Ballyluby out in Golden Bridge 2 years ago, or D, all of the above?
Has to be Ballyluby.
Yeah.
It's actually D, all of the above. So.
Yeah. I'll find out who gave that.
You must have done. You done something special last week.
Oh,
you?
It's remarkable, Paddy. Yeah.
Johnny B, against which team did your clubmates say you had your best on performance? Again, multiple choice. A, the intermediate hurling relegation replay, Kerr versus Ballybacon in 2014. B, tearing the Ballyluby backs to shreds 2 years ago. C, a league game against Thurlest Sarsfields last year. Quote, he hadn't played in a while as he'd been busy being all showbiz and stuff. Or D, all of the above.
It seems like such an obscure one. I'd say it'd have to be the relegation replay.
They all said D, all of the above. All those games are mentioned. So yes,
this is an impossible quiz. Go on.
Right, final round. Okay, Smacks. No, sorry. This is the embarrassing stories round. So.
Oh, what was the other one?
Smacks. How did you once, according to your clubmates, how did you once injure yourself at halftime during a county final?
I was playing a crossbar challenge at halftime in the county final. I was warming up and a few of the boys were having a kick around and we said we'd have a crossbar challenge at halftime in the county final. And while I was warming up, I had a few attempts at the crossbar and when I kicked one of the balls, my knee dislocated. And I had to walk up in front of the big mad stand was full to the rafters. And I walked up the sideline and they were all like, come on now, Smacks, when you go in there now, but shake him up and all that.
Because
like,
you had been told you were coming on.
I'd been told I was coming on. So I walked into the dressing room and Tom Lynch, he was manager at the time, and he was like, zip down your top. And I was like, I'm after dislocating my knee there, Tom. He was like, unlucky. I was like, that sounds. And that was the end of my county final. Yeah, crossbar challenge, halftime county final.
Yeah, halftime show.
That's correct. So I think you're well ahead of this. But the last question for you, Johnny B. And sorry, they didn't have that many embarrassing stories on you. So, but I have another one about smacks, but you have to guess this, okay? Right? Johnny B, one of your club mates told me this story about smacks, okay? We were playing a hurling match and the game was in the melting pot. We were just a point up. Smacks decided to run up to me and tell me I looked unreal and asked me, did he look all right? Was the jersey fitting him okay? Which teammate do you think Smacks complimented on his physical appearance while the game hung in the balance?
Chalk Ice.
Correct.
Chalk Ice.
Do you want to add any context to that?
See, him and Smacka.
It was mind games. It was, and like, I'd always be messing with the chalk guys, and like that was my way of telling them, like, we're calm here. I know it's in the melting pot, like, but do I look all right? Oh, come on, we're going to edit that out. We're editing that out.
No, you used to be saying that to the chalk as well. Like, you know, you're going well. You're looking fit. Well done, lad. You know, yeah, you used to be saying that to him all the time when he came back training.
Trying to keep him going.
He came back from Australia, like, and he hadn't played in a year. And then when he was training again, he was looking great. And you used to be telling him.
I'm
trying to soften the blow, but you know, but it's awful.
What a great nickname.
Yeah, chalk ice. Mm. Yeah. Some hero.
Paddy, how did the scores add up there too?
We have Smacks got 5 out of 6, and Johnny B, you got 3 out of 6.
Taking the win. I'm taking the win this week. Lovely stuff.
That was class.
I really enjoyed that. And we'll get the information to the lads, and I'll punish them during the week. All right, during the week, our roving reporter Oisin Langan caught up with 4 of the stars of this year's AIB All Ireland Club Hurling and Football Finals. So here on the quick fire round is Ballyhale Shamrock's Joey Holden, St Thomas's Connor Cooney, Dr. Croke's Gavin White, and Curra Finn's Martin Farher.
Joey Holden of Ballyhale Shamrocks. Spuds or pasta?
Spuds.
We've Got the World or Rock and Roll Kids?
Oh, Rock and Roll Kids.
Colin Fennelly or Michael Fennelly?
Tough choice. We'll go Colin.
Easy choice, really. Hurley Bandit or Unbanded?
Banded.
Fair City or EastEnders?
Fair City.
Bono or Declan Nerney?
We'll go Declan Nerney.
Yeah, easy, wasn't it? Brian Cody or Darth Vader, who apparently are not the same person?
No, Brian Cody.
The force is strong in you. Club or county?
Club.
Conor Cooney of St Thomas's. As a pundit, Don Logue or Anthony Daly?
Anthony Daly.
Air Square or Times Square?
Air Square.
Post Malone or Joe Dolan?
Post Malone.
Love Island or Love Hate?
Love Hate.
Joe Rabbit or Pat Rabbit?
Joe Rabbit.
Brendan Cummins or Damien Fitzhenry?
Brendan Cummins.
The Saw Doctors or God?
The Saw Doctors.
It's a trick question. The Saw Doctors are God. Club or county?
Club.
Conor Cooney, thank you for playing.
Thank you.
Gavin White joining us in the bowels of Croke Park. Gavin White of Dr. Croke's, of course. Gavin, white boots or black boots?
Black boots.
Mammy's Cooking or restaurant?
Mammy's Cooking.
The Star or the Bomber?
The Bomber. Tough one.
I'll give the boss.
Bohemian Rhapsody or A Star Is Born?
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Holiday in Kerry or Costa del Sol?
In Kerry.
Rory Stories or Martin Story?
Rory Stories.
Club or pub?
Club.
Club or county?
Tough one again, club.
Martin Farraher of Curra Finn, your time starts now. Toughest opponent you ever marked?
Cairn Fitzgerald.
He's your teammate. Give me another one. There's no one tougher than Martin Farraher. That's what I'm taking out of this. Buns or scones?
Scones.
Snapchat or Instagram?
Instagram.
Boyzone or Westlife?
Westlife.
We really know it's both. O'Driscoll or O'Gara?
O'Gara.
Will Mayo ever win in All-Ireland?
Jeez, I don't know.
I want to clarify, I did not write the question. Oisin Langan or Paul Collins?
Never heard of them. I don't know.
That hurts, Martin. That hurts. Club or county?
Club.
Martin Farraher, thank you very much.
Cheers, thanks.
Don't forget to rate, review, and tell your friends about the Two Johnnies podcast and use the hashtag Two Johnnies Pod. That's the number 2 Johnnies Pod. Spread the good word of the gospel according to the 3 of us here. All right, we're going to close the podcast now with our yurts and dirts of the week, as we always do. Johnny, I think we have a double yurt this week, have we?
Yeah, a big, giant, hot ball of yurt.
Yeah, it's club related too.
Last night, RGA Club Care won the South Under 21A football title for the first time in 900 years. Okay. Ish.
Since you were a biennial, so it's
no, it was never won in my time.
Never.
Never not.
Wow, we're breaking new ground, lads.
Yeah.
I'm definitely getting dropped off the senior team now. Fuck. Those under 21s. Yeah, I share that. Dirt, I don't really have much. It's been a fairly good week.
Yeah. Just non-GA related, one of my favourite Irish bands broke up during the week, Oh Emperor. They won Best Album at the Choice Music Prize Awards.
And they broke up then?
Yeah, they said they won Best Album and that's it, they're retiring. So, thanks for all the music, guys.
That's crazy, like, you'd think they'd only be getting going at that crack.
No, they're packing it in, so just fair play to them.
They're packing it in. We've got shows coming up this week. We're in Vicar Street and we're in Limerick and Galway. Galway sold out, Vicar Street is it's probably going to be sold out by the time this podcast comes out. And there's around 15 left for Limerick, so you can get your tickets at thetwojohnnies.ie.
I think the only ones not sold out Wexford and Athlone.
Yeah, the rest are all gone. Thanks very much to everybody who came out to see us, and thanks to everyone who came to the show in Mayo as well at the weekend. Now, and thanks to AIB for sponsoring this podcast. The club finals are on St. Patrick's Day. Get yourself there. You don't want to miss it. A great spectacle. And thanks very much to AIB for the continued support.
And we'll be there.
We'll be there. We're at the club finals.
Yeah, come see us.
Yeah, we'll be having chats with fans and the whole lot and interacting. We'll be there.
The game will be good too, but you get to meet us. It's a big plus.
Hey, you know, an added bonus. And
are you going, Paddy?
Of course I am, yeah.
Paddy will be there as well.
If you're going, I'm going.
Yeah.
There you go.
Are you bringing the dog?
Going putting a jersey on the dog, an AIB jersey on the dog, and we're going to bring him. Yeah,
I'll bring the digestives.
Yeah, he's going to shoot a few pints at half time on the pitch in Croke Park. I don't know if they'll
hope he doesn't dislocate his knee. Like.
he will not be doing a crossbar challenge. All right, we're going to close it with a song we wrote about our club. It's about all the characters in the club, and it's called the Club Song. It took us ages to think of the name, but we eventually got there.
One, two. Be all right. I'd say it'll be okay there.
You'll be grand, Derek.
Training under lights, the January slog. The manager says it'll all pay off.
First night back, 40 lads mad for road, and everyone's saying they'll play both codes.
Now 4 weeks in, things are still going well, but training attendance has dropped to 12.
The college lads said they can't make it back. They're sogging cheap cans, having midweek crack.
They're telling us the boom is back, I don't know, is it? Stayed on the dry for me brother's wedding. Pedal to the metal.
Still have no medals.
We're doing it all for the love of the club. There's our lads giving out down the pub. The lads we used to have were bigger and meaner. If we still had them, sure we'd still be senior.
And we're all dreaming this could be our year. If we could just knuckle down and stay off the beer. Whether you're a star or a super sub, we all play our part. For the love of the club.
That's right, that's a fact.
That's a fact.
I'm wearing that jersey since under six. Big ball, small ball, breaking sticks.
Tip it a cap to the jersey scrubber. I don't think it was him though. I think it's his mother.
That's right. To the lads raising money for hurleys and balls. Door to door selling county draws.
To all the mothers who were washing gear and driving kids around every night of the year.
That lad, he'll never win a county title.
And he'll never be as good as his Uncle Michael.
We're doing it all for the love of the club. There's our lads giving out down the pub. The lads we used to have were bigger and meaner. If we still had them, sure we'd still be senior.
And we're all dreaming this could be our year. If we could just knuckle down and stay off the beer.
Whether you're a star or a super sub,
we all play our part. For the love of the club.
Now we're knocked out.
We're on a 2-day bender, and we'd have won handy if we had a defender.
They say the forwards can't win their own ball. Did you hear that one?
But it was one in all in when it came to the brawl.
We're doing it all for the love of the club. There's our lads giving out down the pub. The lads we used to have were bigger and meaner. If we still had them, sure we'd still be senior.
And we're all dreaming this could be our year. If we could just knuckle down and stay off the beer. Whether you're a star or a super sub, we all play our part for the love of the club. There you go. From me, Johnny Smacks.
From me, Johnny B.
From me, Maura.
From Paddy O'Rourke.
There you go. We'll be back next week, same time, same channel. Good luck. See you, Paddy's there.
Good luck.